We are the terror that faps in the night. We are the podcast that takes up space on your phone. We are the swamp ass that forms when you're in an important social setting. We are the bags of shit in the pants of the internet. We're those guys at work that wheedled you into listening to this. We are the Shy Kids Podcast.
Shy kids.
Welcome to the Shy Kids Podcast. My name is Corey.
My name's Dean.
My name's Doc.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Yeah?
Guess
yeah.
What?
What?
You know, last week's episode.
Yeah.
We kind of recorded it before we ended up somewhere special.
That's true.
Yeah. And now
change is gonna come.
Change is coming. a lot of you probably right now are listening to us on morelikeradio.com.
So hello.
Our new home.
Our wonderful, wonderful new home.
Yeah.
Not that our old home was bad, but it was.
It was more like Uncle Tom's cabin, I think.
It was a transitionary place.
It was transitionary. And we are now at morelikeradio.com.
And that's all we'll say about that.
Yeah. And it's better.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's good to be here.
We are so happy to be here on morelikeradio.com.
Yeah. Yes. We're bags of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, you heard our debut episode last week, if you listened. Now we're here.
If you're just a regular subscriber to the podcast and you didn't hear the news,
yeah.
Well, let's run down where they can hear us first and where they can now, because you're getting this podcast on a different day.
Yeah.
And let's explain that.
Yeah. So this podcast is now airing on Saturdays.
Saturdays.
On morelikeradio.com at 11 a.m. Pacific, which is 2 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
And then you in-betweeners can figure your own shit out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Which you do
for living in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
The flyover states.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, if you're listening to us live now and you want to download this episode later, you can download it Monday on theshykids.com or on iTunes or on Stitcher or wherever podcasts happen.
Pretty much wherever you would get your podcast normally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And wherever you do get those podcasts, be sure to hit subscribe. Rate and
like
review us.
And all that.
Let us know how you're feeling.
RSS to a damn motherfucker.
Yeah. But anyway.
So yeah, we're happy to be here on More Like Radio.
We are very happy to be here.
We got a good welcome.
We did. We got a fantastic welcome from our More Like Radio family.
Yeah, we got a great lead in. It's all about me.
Right.
Who just aired right before us. If you're listening live.
Yeah, if you're listening live. Thanks. It's all about me.
Yeah.
For the great lead in today.
Thanks.
That show today was
incredible.
Oh, it
was,
yeah.
I was laughing my ass. When Rorschach did the thing,
we don't pre-record this at all.
No.
He Danny Glovered all over that shit.
Yeah. Oh, piss man. Bucket.
Man. And Hall's, you're such a sweetheart. You're so patient with him.
I know.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
I could have done with less anti-Semitism, though.
You know.
Well,
if I'm going to be
honest.
They
got into a rant.
Yeah.
We can ignore that.
Yeah.
Listen. I have an idea that I want to present to the group. Hypothetical situation. Okay?
Morelikeradio.com.
What was that? Just a shoehorned in.
Well, one of the things we've got
to
we have to constantly say
morelikeradio.com.
Yeah.
That's how we keep hexes.
That would be so stupid.
We have to station identify every 7 minutes. So look forward to that.
It keeps hexes captured.
Yeah, that's true. It keeps them in the big tree.
More like radio.com.
Toxic rain.
No, we're just kidding.
Okay. I think they knew.
Yeah.
I think their regular listeners are like, that's not going to happen.
Oh, no. Every 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
And we're going to pause for station identification.
No.
AshleyMadison.com.
This really is more like
That's
radio.
That's not one of their sponsors, Dean. Anyway.
Should be.
This is nothing like radio right now. Holy shit. So, the hypothetical situation I want to present to both of you. Okay.
Oh, shit.
You are sitting at home one day when there's a knock at your door. There's a guy in a suit with paperwork.
Does he have half a face and a box with a button in it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that didn't turn out so well for Cameron Diaz.
It did not.
No.
He presents you with some paperwork. So at first you think, oh shit, I'm getting served. Right. Yeah.
Well, he starts dancing in front of you.
You have an.
You got served.
Yeah. Oh shit. I better step up to the streets.
Right?
Yeah.
Havana Nights? I don't know.
What'd you say?
It's Dirty Dancing.
Havana Nights?
Dirty Dancing too.
Havana Nights.
We were jumping from one dance.
Yeah, to, that's true.
I said Vanna White.
Vanna White.
Havana Nights.
Yeah. I like Havana White. She's
Havana cute. White.
Let me get to the point.
The Cuban counterpart.
Yeah. Okay.
She's on the Wheel of a Fortune.
Also, it's Cuban. Go on.
Listen, we're already way out of focus.
More like radio.com.
So, outlaw country. Anyway.
Guy knocks on your door.
He has paperwork. Turns out he is the lawyer of a rich uncle you did not know you had.
Nice.
He's dead.
Oh, nice. Yes. Dead.
Poor Unky Herb.
Did he know about us then, apparently?
Yeah, he did, because he left something to you. Something very important.
Some cash?
Yeah. He is leaving you a nice estate in the woods that faces a mountain that he owned that he's also leaving to you.
Okay.
You now own a fucking mountain on the provision
that you fuck on it.
That you turn that mountain into a...
ski resort.
No.
Okay.
A Mount Rushmore-style four-headed monument to the four most important people that you feel represent you.
Is this so that his ghost can get to know us better?
Yes.
It's awfully elaborate.
Because he never met you.
Death wish.
And he could only interact with stone monuments.
It's super elaborate, but he was an eccentric. He owned several chocolate factories.
As most millionaires are, yes.
He owned chocolate factories. Yeah. He bought a whole minor league team and made them wear dresses. He was a nut bar.
He had a sex slavery ring.
Yeah, all of that
If only I'd known him while he was alive, I could have pitched on his minor league team.
Exactly.
As a child.
You know you would have been a catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
You're short and stocky.
You know.
And you have no gag reflex.
And I love being fucked in the ass.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
we can both attest to that.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't ask gag.
You know, sometimes it's better to feel used. You know?
It really
is. I mean, wanted.
Yeah.
Damn it, I get those mixed up.
You do. You do. So.
We just call you Rent-A-Center. Because Magic Johnson's been in you so many times.
Mm-hmm. More like radio.com.
Damn, you stole my punch. I was going to wait a little longer. Do-do-do-do. More like radio.com.
You have to build your own. You have to commission your own Mount Rushmore, essentially, on this mountain that you now own.
Uh-huh.
Four heads. Only four.
Just their foreheads.
Just foreheads. Not just their foreheads.
Okay.
Only four, the number, heads.
That's good, because I was going to have Charles Manson, so he'd be really recognizable.
He's a big swastika.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Tyra Banks. But that's more like a five head.
Yeah. She has a
big forehead.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. She's balding.
Leave Tyra Banks alone.
Yeah. Sorry.
Fatty pig fatty.
More like radio.com.
More like radio.com.
You're listening to the Shy Kids here on More Like Radio.com.
It's not going to get annoying.
Nope. Every 7 minutes.
Oh, God. Yeah. We have a chess timer for that.
All right. No more. Let's actually get into this topic.
Let's get a real topic going.
I really like this topic,
Okay.
So our personal heroes.
Kind of, yeah.
But we gotta like fucking.
They're important to you. It's not about what do I want the world to see? It's your fucking mountain on your property. You get to do whatever the fuck you want, as long as it's four heads and they're important to you.
So it's like they're your founding fathers, pretty much.
Essentially, yes.
That is a great way to put it.
Your founding fathers. Although, oddly enough, he added a footnote. He wrote, no friends or family. I don't want to see that bullshit.
Or like, so we can't put his head.
No, not his head. He wants well-known celebrities.
Not my...
But celebrities.
He's kind of a weird uncle.
Do they have to be celebrities, or can they just be like important social figures?
Yeah, they could be important social figures, but those are a type of celebrity.
It can't be my mommy.
They're well known.
Oh, okay.
No, you can't put your mom.
Not by those rules. Not unless your mom.
You especially can't put her if you call her mommy.
Yes.
I would just put her four times more beautiful than the last.
Yes.
I want to. Well, she was more of a cautionary figure.
The four phases of my mother.
Yeah.
Pre-me. Post-me.
Post-menopausal.
Was your mom a pre-me? How do you know that?
I think Corey's putting words in my mouth.
I want like teenager mom.
Yeah.
Young mother mom.
I want teenager mom.
Grandmother mom.
Listen, Oedipus taught us anything. We all want teenager mom.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then we'll gouge our eyes out for it.
We'll kill dad for it. Teenager dad. Back to the Future.
Okay. So people that have sort of influenced our way of thinking, thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Important to you. Personal heroes.
Now they don't necessarily have to be, celebrities. It could be like a history teacher that, you know, is really influential.
I would put that under friends and family.
It's got to be.
Well, it's a teacher. I mean,
it's got to be people that someone else would know about.
Yeah, you can't be like Mr. Walden was very important to me because he taught me how to sand wood.
What about like Gandhi?
Gandhi is a well-known figure.
Yeah, so Gandhi would fit.
Yeah.
So what's to stop us from just like putting like fucking strokey.
Stroke
self-serving
victims?
like it just
like Martin Luther King
yeah,
Jr.
Yeah like oh look at how important
we'll call you out on it and make
we'll
you
call
feel
you
bad.
That's
like how personal are we talking here?
It's important to you. It's faces you want to look at on a mountain all day and they're important to you.
Okay, but we're trying to stay away from a more broad brushstroke.
Yeah,
of a selection.
This isn't like I put General Washington because
he's on the
fought
real.
For this country. He's on the real one. That's also a cop.
Are we also excluding the real Mount Rushmore?
Yes, nobody from the real Mount Rushmore.
Oh, I love Teddy Roosevelt.
I'm sorry.
Shit.
You just want a mustache ride.
No, I just really like killing exotic animals.
I bet his mustache rides though were the best.
Probably.
I think he had asthma, so maybe not.
Did he?
Oh. Just on your balls.
I put in a quarter. Give me those goddamn magic fingers.
I didn't call the donkey in yet. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
All right. So our own personal Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Or Mount Mushmore.
Or
Mount Mushmore.
Mount Mushmore.
All right.
Also, fictional characters? Fictional people, like...
Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
I'm just trying to eliminate as many sort of variables.
I can tell you, I'm not going fictional.
They have to be real people.
I'm going real people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down for whatever.
You should start, since it's your topic.
Okay. This is probably the most important musician to me. I love music, obviously. it's probably the rock band I, like, you know, when you're a kid and you listen to shitty kid music and then there's a rock band that you hear and you're like, holy shit. Okay. I like cool music now. And that would be the band Metallica.
Mm-hmm. Cause this is what I was going to guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was mine too.
But the person I'd put on there is the front man, obviously, James Hetfield.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause he's an alcoholic.
No, that's not why.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big fan of alcoholics. Put them all on there. James Hetfield, he wrote most of the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
There were some songs where the other guys were like, hey, how about this line? Sure.
Because you talk like you're from the 20s.
Hey, how about, I'm from Metallica, see?
Enter light.
Yeah, take my hand off to Never Neverland.
Yeah. Give me fuel, give me fire,
that's
give
right.
me that which I desire.
Master of Puppets, I'm pulling your strings.
Other Metallica lyrics I'm not familiar with. Nah.
Yeah. You start doing that with like Funkadelic lyrics. Yeah.
Get up on it, get down on it. I don't know it either. I don't know your music and you don't know mine, Dean. James Hetfield from Metallica. I was tempted here to go with David Bowie,
because
I had a British guy correct us.
Really?
It is Bowie. He said, fuck you and your Bowie.
What are you pointing at me for?
Bowie.
It's Dean's thing.
It's Dean's. Fuck you, Dean, and your Bowie. It's David Bowie.
All right.
I have heard Bowie.
Yeah, I've
Laban.
I've heard them say Bowie.
Yeah, I have heard Bowie before. Anyway, yeah. I was tempted to put David Bowie.
You could also put David Bowie.
I could, but I wanted to pick a musician mm-hmm. to represent the music I love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I, in fact, on the way here, I was still going to put Bowie, but I was listening to Metallica on the way here. And I realized that while I love David Bowie's music, mm-hmm. I more care about Metallica's lyrics than I do Bowie's.
Okay.
And James Hetfield is the lyricist. He's
the main songwriter.
He's kind of the main songwriter. Yeah.
Okay.
And he's got one of the coolest, like, rock voices.
He does have an amazing rock voice. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So I decided, you know what? It's got to be Hetfield. Even though it would be cool to see Bowie with his fucking crazy ass face makeup.
Which, see, that's what Bowie.
I'd have to go with Ziggy Stardust Bowie if I went with
him. Which Hetfield do you choose?
I'm going, handlebar mustache Hetfield.
Long hair. Don't care.
You know what? I would even go short hair, but handlebar mustache.
Short hair, handlebar mustache.
I don't give a shit. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Is he making angry face?
I picture all of mine, winking. No. No.
They're all alternating their winking eyes.
That would be awesome.
They're all doing like the Temptations lean.
Actually, they're all wearing shades. Yeah. No, he would just be sort of, it would kind of be like current Mount Rushmore where they're all just kind of still faced.
They're not all wearing like 2008 New Year's glasses.
No.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So James Hetfield from Metallica, first head on my thingy.
Awesome.
On my Mount Rushmore.
On your thingy.
My thingy.
Yeah. On your cock.
On your Doc Rushmore.
Yeah. Doc Rushmore.
Yeah. James Hetfield. Is there, what about his lyrics are, like, you kept saying lyrics, but you didn't really explain why the lyrics.
It's because there's so many. It's hard to, like, every, there's several more songs that mean something to me more than David Bowie's. David Bowie's is more, I like the music and I like his voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's less about the lyrics. In fact, my favorite David Bowie song, Life on Mars, is
ridiculous.
A bunch of nonsense.
Mickey
which
Mouse
he's admitted.
Up a cow, man.
Which he's admitted. It's just all random sentences. Mm-hmm.
But so, Major Tom.
Yeah, ground control. Yeah, you're going to die in a spaceship. Yeah. I don't know.
Pretty deep.
Metallica's music's a little more grounded.
Does it have to do with...
lyrics is a little more grounded.
Like you identify with his pain a little bit?
Pain. When he's talking about like injustice.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, and Justice for All, that album is all about injustice. That I get into. I love the Black Album. Because of how introspective it is.
Okay.
All the lyrics are very like,
You are a minority, sir.
Yeah. What?
Metallica fans, a lot of them.
Well, that's
fall
not
off the wagon at the
Black
Album.
The ones who don't like the Black Album are the ones that started before the Black Album.
Right.
And they just don't like that it's different.
Well,
this is shorter songs and softer.
They don't like that they sought out a producer specifically to make them sell records.
Yeah, but who gives a shit?
Songs
are great.
I'm with you.
It's a great album.
The songs are great, and that's called being a smart business person in the music industry, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But to them, sellouts be damned.
By the way, the term sellout just can't exist anymore because every band has songs and commercials now.
Yeah, look.
You can't do it. You can't call someone out for being a sellout because everybody does
it. With the availability to record yourself these days, sell your shit as much as you can.
Yeah.
Because you have the ability to record in your own garage or whatever, just as good, or your own home studio or whatever.
Yeah.
Just as good as any other, you know, anything else out there.
How do you think Moby got famous for a while? Remember when Moby got famous for a while?
Yeah.
It's because he had a song in every fucking commercial.
Yes. And he lives comfortably now doing absolutely dick shit. Because he did that. And you know what?
Moby Dick.
He got to make the music he wanted to make. Yeah. Is that a sellout? No.
I think he fills in for Billy Corgan when he's feeling
does
off
he?
That night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
when
switch
when
off.
Billy Corgan's feeling extra douchey.
I think also Walter White in Breaking Bad, he fills in for him sometimes.
That's
or any of the other bald. Close.
Occasionally he does children's hospitals as the Mr. Clean guy. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
More
like radio.com. That's every awkward silence.
That's our save whenever something bombs.
Yeah.
More like radio.dean. Go ahead.
All right.
So James Hetfield. Good
James
choice.
Hetfield, first choice.
Good
well,
choice.
I've got, actually, this is a weird coincidence because my first one is going to be a
James
music
Hetfield?
Guy. No.
That would
no,
be weird.
Kurt Hammett? But it's going to be another music.
Lars Ulrich. I love what he did to downloadable music.
It's going to be another music guy. And also somebody named James. It's James Brown was going to be my first
name. Ah, James Brown.
I kind of, because anybody that knows me knows that I like the funk.
You Dean's like the funk. He don't funk the wunk. Ow. I don't know how the lyrics go.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I was kind of going in between James Brown and George Clinton, which is my fantasy, by the way.
Going between
George Clinton
and James Brown. Although James Brown is probably not so fresh.
No. Yeah. Well, George Clinton either. He's like 500 pounds. And...
But at least he's alive.
Yeah, that's true, in a manner of speaking. Yeah. But I went with James Brown because George Clinton is such a... he was so heavily influenced by James Brown, and also one of my favorite musicians was Bootsy Collins, who got me into bass playing. And he was originally the bass player for James Brown. So I decided just to go with the source for this one because, like, without him, you know... He's like the grandfather of funk. So,
yeah.
And the reason I wanted to put him was because, like, funk was, it was like one of the first types of music, kind of like Doc was saying, where, I would listen to kiddie music and shit, like, and then I listened to funk music, and all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, this is cool music that I'm listening to now. Nobody else felt that way, but that's how I felt.
Yeah.
Because before that, I was just listening to, like, video game and anime soundtracks and shit. Up until like high school, and funk also was I'm pretty much a shy kid, just like the show is called
shy kids
funking up my dick. And so funk is like this really I grew up as like a very like
retard.
as you can probably hear by how I'm talking, but
damn, you pulled out the R word.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Face!
It's like,
can't see me!
Basically, like using the N word for Dean.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's not cool, man.
It's my word. I use it.
Dean can use it. You can't, Doc.
Yeah. How my retards doing?
Why can the black eyed peas?
They shouldn't.
Yeah.
No.
Stupid Fargi.
They changed it to Let's Get It Started.
Yeah.
More like radio.com.
We don't say retard at more like radio.com.
Yeah, they're...
Except when we do.
Yeah, like right
just now.
Yeah, go ahead.
More like right now.
All right. Starting now, we don't say retard on More Like Radio. God damn it.
Yeah.
More Like Radio. All right.
Keep going, you guinea.
'03.
God damn. The reason that, funk kind of resonated with me is because I think I had a similar experience to most white suburban kids where it's like they start listening to this, like, funky ass black music, and then they all of a sudden go, oh, whoa, this has a lot of deep shit to it. But instead of going hip hop, I went like 20 years further back and just went into funk for some reason. And it was such like an in your face kind of expressive type of music that wasn't afraid to be silly sometimes that kind of helped form me as a person. Cause it kind of got me out of my shell a little bit and got me kind of not caring what people think about how I'm expressing myself. And yeah.
You wanted the funk.
Yeah.
You don't funk the wunk.
I don't funk the wunk, not at all.
What is the real line?
We want the funk, give up the funk.
That's
gotta
what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Gotta have the funk.
Why did I think it was we don't funk the wunk?
I don't know.
Because you're a retard?
More like radio.com.
Dean, that's offensive.
James Brown. I like that choice. I like that.
That
choice
is a very good choice.
Yeah.
Well, like Dean was saying about hearing it as a kid, and being like, "Holy shit!" I remember with Metallica, an uncle drove me to Taco Bell, and in his car he had the Black Album, and he puts it in, and it's right on the beginning of Sad But True.
Was he touching you at the same time?
No, he was a real, not a touchy uncle, a nice one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Although oddly conservative.
Yeah.
Like the type that posts shit on Facebook now that says, like, take the country back. Shit like that.
So he wouldn't touch you. You just had to suck his dick while listening to Sad But True.
No, I just had to unfriend him.
Oh, okay.
This is a proof I'm not gay. Yeah. Yeah. So I heard the brown, 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 brown.
Right.
And I remember just being like, what the fuck is this? Holy shit.
So epic.
It was just like, it turned me around. Right. I was like, this is awesome.
Do you remember the first time you heard James Brown or funk in general?
It was actually more...
like radio.com.
God damn it. I was actually introduced to Parliament Funkadelic first, and then started getting more into the root of what that was, like James Brown. But I remember when I first listened to that, I was doing a graphic design job for my college, and
so you got introduced late.
Yeah, it was pretty late because up until mid college, I was just like listening to like video game soundtracks and anime shit.
Oh,
and
wow, really?
So, yeah, so I didn't like. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Bootsy Katsu Mahime. Yeah, because I was one of those kids that was like, ugh, fuck top 40 popular shit. Yeah. But then I was like, and then I would just listen to anime shit, which wasn't even better. So yeah. It's like up on my mountain of judgment.
Fighting evil by moonlight.
But yeah, it was just like, it was introduced to me on Pandora, and I just like.
The Explorer?
Went, yeah, Pandora the Explorer. Do, 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 Pandora. letting out all the horrors.
Anyway, and yeah. It changed your life.
Yeah, pretty much, because I just like went to town, like I would download.
You grew dreads.
Yeah,
grew
dreads. just like a lightning bolt came down, and I could play bass guitar all of a sudden, yeah. And like,
and I had my bass guitar,
and my eyes turned into stars and shit. Yeah.
So you didn't start playing bass until mid college?
No, I honestly never really got good at bass, but yeah. I just started like.
Well, I've got one here. Let's show the people. What's...
Oh, hold on, I can do boom, boom. Oh, Pusher Man, come on, boom. But no, wait, hold on, boom. Wait, hold on, boom.
Oh, hold
on. Yeah, I'm one of those
I hate
guys.
That.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I don't play in front.
Wait,
of
hold on, wait, hold on.
Plus, a bass by itself is just like not very impressive.
Yeah. So. You sir have not gone to some music trade shows.
Yeah. All right.
So James Brown.
Mm-hmm.
James Brown, James Hetfield, who's your James?
I don't have a James. But
damn it.
Since we're going music, I'll do
music.
My music person on my list.
Okay.
Interesting that we all have music.
We all have a music, at least one.
Mine is a drummer turned frontman.
I know who it is.
I'm sure everybody knows who it is. There aren't very many drummers turned frontmen.
Yeah.
Don Henley. No. He wasn't.
Can I guess? Def no. Leppard's one-armed drummer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ringo.
Ringo. Ugh.
I
good night, Boogaloo. Ringo's solo work stinks.
Yeah.
not only is this guy a musical an icon for me.
Yeah.
As far as his ability to write music, keep it,
crispy,
like commercially viable, but still fucking just rock.
Yeah.
You know? But he's also like the nicest guy in rock.
David Lee Roth?
No.
Oh.
It is a David though.
Oh.
It's a former drummer from Nirvana.
Axl Rose.
No.
No?
Current frontman for the Foo Fighters. It's Dave Grohl.
Okay.
Steve Brule.
No.
Diamond Dave Grohl. Okay, cool.
Everything about Dave Grohl is something I aspire to be.
Yeah.
He seems like the coolest guy ever. He's super focused about his art. To the point where sometimes he comes off maybe as a little insensitive. Like he re-recorded half an album.
I remember hearing about
of
that.
Of drums. It didn't tell the drummer that he had. Like they recorded all their tracks. They broke, for mix down. Yeah. And he went back into the studio and re-recorded half the drum tracks for that album.
Which one was this?
The Color and the Shape. It's their second album.
Okay.
And, didn't tell the guy. And when they came back for listen throughs, guy was like, that's not my drum part. What the fuck happened? He's like, oh yeah. The parts that you laid down really weren't right for the song. Right?
Yeah.
So like he gets a little.
Is that when that guy
stuff,
left?
Stuff
and
like, yeah, that's
Taylor
it's pretty much
Hawkins
when
showed up.
When yeah
yeah
when that'll changeover happened. But at the core of that, there's
your name's Corey.
Oh.
Pun.
It's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Better. Yeah.
But I've called you core before.
Limber up before you make those stretches.
Yeah.
That's
why I didn't try to draw attention to it.
There's a focus there that, that is admirable to me.
Yeah.
About, you know, it's gotta be what's right for, the end product.
Yeah.
You know, whether it boils down to, you know, me in my band, you know, taking,
the AIDS cushion, right? That's your name?
No.
Okay.
Jizzy McJabberwockies, was that what it was?
Yes, actually.
That, oh, okay.
That's perfect.
That was our first name.
Yeah.
No, like the philosophy of like getting input in, from everybody and trying to make the best.
Right.
You know, it's not about ego. It's not about,
it's just making the best music,
making the best product possible. Yeah. And I try to carry that through most everything, even like with this podcast. Like,
really? Why'd you get us then?
Yeah.
Cause I like, honestly, you guys are two of the funniest guys I know.
Bullshit.
And I had a feeling that putting you two together on mic would make for a really Kisses. Entertaining show.
Oh, dude.
But to go into the...
Stick your finger in my butthole.
Jesus Christ.
More like radio.com.
What, you don't want to do this?
No. All
right.
But that's sort of who he represents. Plus like, he does have an awesome rock voice.
He does. He's very good. Skin and bones, don't you know?
That's another thing too. Like every step that they take as
every
a band,
move they make.
I think that's Sting.
Everything that he's as the sort of band leader guided every step along the way has been like the perfect steps for a rock band to take.
Yeah.
Like every time they come out with something new, I go fuck. Yes.
Fuck.
He stepped it up.
You know, like they did that Skin and Bones tour where half of it, or no, the entire thing was all acoustic, and they brought in a cello player and an organist, and like, I thought initially, well, that's gonna kill the entire vibe of the Foo Fighters, but it added a whole nother element.
Yeah.
You know, it added a whole, it broadened their scope as musicians, as a band, as what they could do on stage, and opened up an entire, side to the structure that is, you
Foo
know,
Fighters.
What the Foo Fighters can be.
Yeah.
You know, and then they came back, with the Wasting Light album and went straight back to like rock roots and showed like, no, this is our true voice.
Yeah.
You know, but all of it is great in between.
Which one has Todd on to the next one, Todd of Todd? Which one is that?
I can't even decipher what song.
Yeah, it sounded really breathy.
I heard.
Oh, no, it's the one that goes, hey, don't let it go to waste.
The Pretender.
That's the one.
That is on Echoes, Silence, Patience, Grace, I think.
Okay, I like it.
which is a fantastic album. They're all great.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dave Grohl, for me. Plus, he was a background player that turned, frontman. It's not what I aspired to, but I've done that.
That's true.
In my band, I went from being just a bass player. To taking over as a front man.
Just like Sting.
Sort of.
You're the Sting of your band.
I play bass and sing, yes.
Like Sting.
Yes.
You are Sting.
Yeah.
But if I ever
Wherever
became...
Wherever we go, you'll be watching us.
If I ever became a celebrity type, I think I would try to pattern my sort of celebrity persona off of a Dave Grohl type.
Oh, okay.
Super cool. Accessible, down to earth, kind of says whatever the fuck he wants.
And you don't need to turn on the red light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's Sting as well. Stop with the Sting references.
More like radio.com.
Next.
More like Sting.com.
I don't even know if I detailed out properly.
There was a lot of detail.
Oh, yeah.
It was broken up so much. I don't even know if there was a standard string of thought with that.
My next one. This is the Firth.
It's the Firth.
Colin Firth.
Perfect.
No. This is the first author I really connected with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're a kid, you're kind of forced to read books. Here's the books you're supposed to read in school.
Richard Scarry.
No. Richard Scarry, I remember that.
Oh my God, I had no idea an apple could be a car. Fucking blew my fucking mind, man.
Yeah. Shel Silverstein. No, and outside of kids' books, this is like the first adult book I read.
50 Shades of Grey.
No. It was from a year ago. No.
I got it at the airport.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
Which also really is the gateway to me getting into sci-fi. Because if you remember, I wasn't a Star Wars guy.
Right.
I wasn't a Star Trek guy as a kid. So this was like, and I kind of didn't like sci-fi at all. Mm-hmm. I wasn't into it. This was really my gateway into sci-fi is reading The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, written by Douglas Adams.
Okay.
Very nice.
Who I would put right up there. He also wrote for Doctor Who, I found out.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did a few episodes.
Yeah. Mm. He was the script supervisor, during some of the Fourth Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrote some episodes. Yeah. But yeah. Sweet. Douglas Adams.
Douglas Adams.
I didn't get into him until kind of I was an adult. So if I had read him as a kid, he probably would have been one of my.
I actually got into him as a teenager, and a goyle turned me on to him.
I thought you were gonna say when you were a goyle.
No, she was like, "You should read this," and I was like, "Okay, I'll read whatever you want me to."
Fuck, actually, this is really good.
Yeah, and I was like, "Holy shit, this is amazing."
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah.
I was ready to not read it and skim it,
right,
and be like, "Yeah, it's great, whatever. Let's talk about you and me.
Blow me.
come on, dickhead."
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Douglas Adams. I think that's a good one.
Douglas Adams.
Did that also start you on your British wave?
Oh, I'm sure it helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was also into Python, though.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scripting.
No. Monty Python.
Did he write anything other than,
he wrote a couple of detective books called, Dirk Gently.
Yeah.
And it was a holistic detective. He was like kind of a psychic detective almost. That has sci-fi elements to it and stuff. There's some time travel-ish shit at some point. So he wrote those. Those are really good. Really, those were the only two book series he wrote.
He wrote a lot of essays and stuff.
But like, Hitchhiker's Guide started off as a radio show. That was first.
Did it really?
Yeah. He wrote a radio show.
Oh, I didn't know it started.
Called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Then made books based off of the radio show. Then made a TV show based off of all of them as well. And then was supposed to make a movie, then he died. And then they made that craptastic crap venture that I don't enjoy that much.
as someone who is only mildly invested in the book.
Right.
I was entertained by that.
I know. It's a good movie, but it bothers me how much they fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Douglas Adams.
Yeah. Let's see. I've actually got a sci-fi author. This is weird for my.
Shit. Are we doing authors next? I'll go to my author then.
Did we all?
I
swear to God, listeners, we did not have a meeting and decide to pick, you know, one from each of these categories.
I wasn't gonna go to my author next, but I figured it's a good place.
Yeah. Might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. My next one is, Kurt Vonnegut, who's not strictly.
I was gonna just start over.
You're gonna, Jessica?
I was gonna guess Judy Blume. Big Super Fudge fan.
Yeah, I was a big Super Fudge fan.
Yeah, I'm sure a close second. Yeah. I really like the writer Tales of Cap- of I really like the writer of Captain Underpants.
Yeah. Kurt Vonnegut.
Player
Piano. Breakfast of Champions.
Breakfast of Champions is my favorite of his, followed closely by Cat's Cradle. But Kurt Vonnegut was introduced to me by a really influential English teacher when I was in high school. And when I was in high school, I was like gothy, kind of depressed kid who was like angry at the world kind of guy. But the teacher introduced...
And your name back then was Colin Bine.
Yes, exactly. Very fortuitous name.
Go on.
The teacher introduced me to Kurt Vonnegut at like a very like important time in my life when that book was Slaughterhouse-Five he introduced us to.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, and that
about timey-wimey.
Yeah, and the way that Kurt Vonnegut writes really resonated with me because his stuff was dark, but it also had like a glimmer of hope to it and a humor to it that was really good for me because it sort of took my angstiness and anger about the world and sort of channeled it into like a funny kind of more hopeful way. Because he has a way of writing about really dark subjects, but also laughing about them afterwards, and making it kind of flippant. But it kind of helped me deal with things that were difficult in my life in a way that was funnier and easy to deal with and laugh at,
right,
and a way I could engage with other people in. And it got me interested in they were like the first books that I started reading for the sake of reading instead of just as
assignments.
I remember after reading Slaughterhouse-Five, I just figured out, what was his first book? Oh, Player Piano. And I just like read them like chronologically and like this binging thing. He got me into that, started me branching out into all other kinds of shit. So
Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah.
Good choice.
That's a very good choice.
Some prolific shit.
Can I tell you what you sound like right now? Just right then, what you sounded like.
Yeah.
On Hot Tracks when one of them says the song and the other one goes, yeah. So
yeah.
Janet Jackson. Yeah, that was, that's a song.
I didn't mean for that to sound like that at all. I was beside myself at how beautifully crafted your words were.
We couldn't even interrupt with jokes.
It was a very personal moment.
Yeah.
I like it though. I appreciate. Nope. I appreciate.
He also drew really nice pictures of assholes with Sharpie pens. So that's that influenced me.
We're back. Like radio.com.
We talk about asshole pictures.
I was gonna use my author.
Let's hear it.
As my last one with a joke, but I'll have to pull the... I can't pull the joke with any other one. No,
what do you mean, joke?
I'll have to move my joke.
Yeah, do you like jokes?
This is a very serious podcast. I was gonna issues.
I was going to jokingly say for my last one, George Clooney.
Because
that's an ongoing gag. Just because I would sit out on the back porch of that house and masturbate to my Mount Rushmore, just looking
and
at
that
George
Clooney. And that would grow a bunch of countries.
Did you write a book?
No. No. It was going to be the joke, and I was going
to
go.
How to make $1 billion just bobbing your head in every scene?
I do have an author that I wrote down here.
Okay,
because I was going to be like, I'm just kidding, guys, not George Clooney.
Sorry that failed.
I was going to save him for the end, but then you brought up authors, and my hidden one was going to be an author.
Shit.
And God damn, I've never read a book more than once. Not much of a reader, right? Graphic novels. I'm not counting books.
Are you saying you've only read one book?
No. I've read many
books.
Did
I hear that wrong?
But I've never read any one book more than one time.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, that was very different.
Yes.
Yeah. Green Eggs and Ham. Dr. Swears.
Except for ones that I read to my kid. Yeah. You know, but I'm saying for my benefit of reading a book.
Good night, Moon.
I've never really gone back to any other book.
Except for this one?
I've been impacted by different books.
Well, you shouldn't be eating them because that's going to fuck up your colon.
For different reasons, throughout my sort of young adolescence and young adulthood. But there's only one author that I've ever gone back to.
Oh. Russell Brand.
No. because of
his booky wook,
the significance it had on
Bill O'Reilly.
The way I looked at, the way I viewed our world.
Oh, whoever wrote Where's Waldo?
No,
that brilliant author.
He could say so much with so little.
I'm talking about Sarah Palin and her book
Parasailing with Sarah Palin.
the book that I've read many times. Is The Bluest Eye by the author Toni Morrison.
Okay.
Now,
this isn't one I'm familiar with.
No, never heard of it.
Toni Morrison is a lady.
Oh. So T-O-N-I.
Yes.
Okay.
She's also African-American.
Cool.
And The Bluest Eye is a book essentially about a poor black family in the South. And the main sort of character is their daughter.
This sounds like Raisin in the Sun.
No.
Who
admires a blonde, blue-eyed girl because she feels that...
As she should!
Yeah. I mean, they're beautiful. Why would you...
So not the point.
Sorry, that was Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She admires... the blue eyes, the blonde hair, because that's sort of, what personifies as sort of perfect or whatever in her sort of built-up world, right?
Right.
And the story goes on to sort of detail out sort of her family situation. They live behind a storefront, in sort of one big giant room. Her brother and, you know, her parents and her dad is an asshole alcoholic.
Oh.
So me and he, Dean he relate. Ends up, he ends up raping yeah. her.
Oh, well, me and Dean can't relate anymore.
And, and she becomes pregnant with her father's baby.
Is this Precious?
No.
It no, sounds like Precious.
It's set in the 60s.
Is this The Bluest Eye based on a novel pushed by Sapphire?
No. And then you find out that, when he was a teenager, he and a girl went off, into the woods, and then they got caught by some white supremacist people.
Oh, no.
Who, forced them to fuck in front of them while they watched and made fun of them and stuff. And so, like, it's
weird.
It's really, really depressing. I read this in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
Probably a good year to be reading.
Right. Was it that? That's the thing. Like,
I was reading shit like The Secret Garden.
It fucked my world up so much that, like, I could not perceive of the world the same as I had.
It was like waking up in the Matrix.
A little bit, you know, like her work, really altered the way I thought about viewing, people that are in different social situations as me, people right. that are in different races as me, and how we're all
like you're more NASCAR and they're more stock car.
It
you're a little bit country, they're a little bit rock and roll.
It helped me to figure out that if we just treated each other a little kinder, we would see, that there is, a perfection within ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, that it's not about seeking what we can't have.
Right.
It's more about, you know, figuring out what's best about ourselves.
Yeah.
And then not projecting that, our anger towards what we don't have onto other people.
The grass is greener in your neighbor's yard.
Yes.
It might seem sunny and be raining hard.
Keep going.
No, I'm not.
I'd join in if I knew what song
it was. I have no idea what you're singing.
It's from a religious tape I saw as a kid about the Ten Commandments.
Is that next on your list?
No. It's about don't covet.
Right. So yeah, I credit that book, for putting my mindset in a place where I don't try not to see color. I try not to see social status.
Right.
You know.
Well, we shouldn't be exposing those ideas to sixth graders. That's a really terrible lesson.
All right. Well, good one.
Good one.
You Tony, can
feel free to trim that.
I will. Toni Morrison.
Toni Morrison.
Cool.
Toni Morrison. Moving on.
I would have guessed that's a pop singer.
No.
Yeah. Anybody with Toni with an I, I would assume that they're
what
singer.
It's
Toni from the Toni, Toni, and Toni.
Oh, okay. The three tones. Tone Loke. Sounds good. All right. Well, speaking of a black person, I also have a black
Shit.
Person.
I had James Brown.
Weird segue, yeah. This is, I'd say probably the newest addition to my list.
Oh, it's a new addition.
Yeah, new addition. Big fan of their work.
Hold on, just one person.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Pick your favorite of new addition.
If I was a kid, this space would probably be filled by somebody like Bill Nye the Science Guy.
I think I know where you're going.
Because it's like the person who got me really interested in science. Mm-hmm. And I'd say Bill Nye was that at the beginning. But ever since hearing more from this gentleman, I've been like way more into it. Like I want to actually learn a lot more about space. And, the Big Bang Theory, not the show.
It's Sheldon.
Yeah. Bazinga.
Sheldon from Big Bang Theory. That'd be terrible.
No fictional characters.
No. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
It's an excellent choice.
There we go.
It's a great choice. He hosts Cosmos right now, which is really good.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, just, he's made me be interested in science again. Mm-hmm. Whereas like post Bill Nye, there's really nobody up to pick up that slack. It was kind of up to me at that point, and I was right. more interested in overeating and
eating that pussy,
and
right?
Unsuccessfully trying to get laid,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. No, I'm right there with you. He would probably be fifth on my mountain.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Yeah, I wanted to put somebody from Science, but I didn't end up doing
it. I figured you'd put Mr. Kaku.
I almost put Carl Sagan on mine, but he was a little bit before my time. Yeah. That's
I don't
one.
Know enough about him to put him.
That's why I didn't want to put him exactly, because he was a little.
It would seem phony to put him.
Yeah. But yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
All right.
Yeah, probably one of the smartest guys on the planet that doesn't necessarily make you feel super beneath him when he talks about
things,
which is fantastic.
You could really understand it when he's when he's telling you about it.
He is like,
it's not all boring like that fucking that invalid. What's his name?
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
Yo, me.
He cheated on his wife too, which I have no idea how the fuck he pulled
finger,
that.
He has one finger that works.
Oh, okay, there we go.
The babysitter.
Yeah. The babysitter.
Whatever.
Come over here.
The invalid sitter.
I'm going to explain string theory to you. Put your vagina next to my hand.
Hand me your string bikini. Put it in my teeth.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I want to make tea with it.
Did you come?
Oh, Lou Gehrig's disease.
Funny is that what
stuff.
He has?
I think that's what it is.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I thought only Lou Gehrig had that. That wasn't just exclusive to him.
Wasn't.
Yeah.
Hey, he was just the first.
Yeah.
It's all his fault. Yeah. Thanks, Lou Gehrig.
Thanks. He was.
Why did he make that disease?
He was patient zero.
Yeah, he was
he gave it to everyone.
Yeah, he was like Typhoid Mary. Yeah.
He was the outbreak monkey.
Yeah.
That's racist.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's great.
All right.
Yeah.
So far, no overlaps, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No overlaps. You said that funny. No overlaps.
Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Okay. My next one is a comedian. But he sort of moved more into the self-help kind of realm.
You're not going to say Kyle Cease, are you?
I don't know who that
okay,
is.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I like how judgmental you were with
I
that.
Know.
What if it was?
I know.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
Greg Behrendt.
No, but he's closely related to Greg Behrendt. He's Paul Gilmartin. He used to be the host of that Dinner and a Movie show on TBS that they would play. They would cook food while they made moves. This isn't the reason he's on my list.
I thought Dave Holmes hosted that.
He hosts DVD on TV.
It's a very similar show to that.
Yeah, they would basically just show shitball movie of the week while they cook food during commercial breaks.
But Paul Milgarten, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Paul Gilmartin. But more than his comedy career, I'm putting him on my Mount Rushmore. For his self-help stuff, because he started a show a few years ago called the Mental Illness Happy Hour. It's a podcast I've mentioned a few times before.
You've never mentioned that to us before.
It doesn't sound familiar at all.
I think I have, but...
No, you have several times.
But it's a show that, like I mentioned, when I was in high school, I was really depressed and gothy, and
I can't see you in all black, Dean.
No.
Oh, no.
Just all black music.
Yes.
Yeah.
But not till college.
Yeah.
The way that I dressed when I was in high school was corduroy pants.
Oh, styling.
I think we all had corduroy.
I had corduroy shorts.
I had corduroy pants.
And then I had baggy black anime t-shirt that was just like too hard from being washed too many times
and jizzed on too many times.
Yeah. Exactly. Stand up by itself. Yeah, so my Evangelion shirt and then like a black jacket on that made me think I was like fucking Neo from the Matrix, even though it was like 90 degrees outside.
Wait, you trench coated it?
No, I pretended it was though because I couldn't find one that was long, but I'd always wear it because I had
it. It was a jumper.
Yeah. But anyway, up until a few years
ago. The onesie that he cut the crotch out of.
Yeah. Just a little poop shoot in the back. But up until a few years ago, I had struggled with depression a lot. And this podcast came along at a really important time.
The Shy Kids.
Yeah, the Shy Kids podcast. We know.
No, that actually started my depression over.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm relapsing. Yeah. No, a few years ago, this show Mental Illness Happy Hour came out. And It's a show where Paul Gilmartin interviews either other comedians or other people that listen to his show, and they talk about, you know, it's basically like a therapy session. Like, they talk about their childhood, they talk about things that happened with their parents and things they're struggling with nowadays, mm-hmm. and it's just like a forum for people to like have a safe way to talk about what's bothering them and what awesome. They're struggling with.
We should try to get you on.
Let me. Yeah. What is it about? I'm curious. What is it about the show? Like hearing about other people's things.
Yeah,
is it that you can relate to it sometimes?
It really started off as that, because at first I didn't know what I had was called depression. So the show, first of all, put a name to it, and it also had a bunch of people that I really liked. Like Maria Bamford was on there, Paul F. Tompkins was on there, Eddie Pepitone was on there, and there are all these really talented people that I liked, really funny people that. Also were struggling with a lot of the same things I was at the time, and I thought, oh shit, if fucking Paul F. Tompkins is struggling with depression, then I'm not a bad person because I'm struggling with it. Like, I could be just as awesome as he could. I'm not, but you know, the theory is that I could. The show really encouraged me to start getting into therapy and start kind of taking care of myself, and that I would think is. I would say is like the current phase of my life. If I were going to divide it up into little, this was teenage Dean and this was college Dean. Like, current Dean is pretty much from when I started therapy up until now, where I'm still kind of working on myself and getting, pulling myself out of that hole. So, and I kind of credit Paul Gilmartin for being the person that started me on that path.
Right.
So, he would be on my Mount Rushmore.
He'd be on your Mount Rushmore.
That's incredibly significant.
Yeah.
What's he look like?
He's like Irish Catholic dude.
Something good to look at on your mountain?
He's kind of like.
It's not like Paul Scheer on your mountain, is it?
No, he's an all right looking guy.
Paul.
He's
Paul
like
Paul Scheer.
He's like a 50-ish Irish Catholic guy. So
okay.
Yeah, there you go.
If you put Paul Scheer on your mountain, you'd have to have him smiling.
Yeah, of course.
Because
you got to get the gap.
Yeah.
You got to get the gap in there.
Yeah.
You can throw footballs in
Otherwise,
there.
Otherwise, he just looks like Dr. Katz.
Yeah.
True. Oh, Dr. Katz should be on mine, too. Damn it.
Jonathan Katz.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah. Is there something about, to what Doc was referencing, to where, like, when you're listening to other people, because when you're feeling depression, there's a lot of isolation, a lot of like, I'm the only one that feels this way. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Is it help break down that wall?
Yeah, especially because
when you
he also
similar situations with other people.
Yeah, it's also because he has like a lot of listeners that write into the show and fill out like these surveys about like they'll answer the same questions like, what was your childhood like, blah 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 blah, and it kind of creates, you'll get a lot of repeat people that are writing in, and it creates like a little bit of a community, like support group almost kind of thingy, that the show develops, and there's like online forums where people can talk to each other about that kind of stuff, so it makes you feel a lot less alone, which is actually one of the catchphrases of the show, is that you're not alone. So it's kind of touchy feely.
Also, Michael Jackson song.
Oh, it is.
You are not alone.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
I am here with you. Isn't that the one where he's got like
kids
on?
Give you Jesus juice.
Doesn't he have kids on beds like floating by in the video for that?
I don't know.
It's really creepy.
He's creepy. way to tarnish that message.
Yeah.
No, but stand-up comedy in general was sort of like that for me.
Yeah.
I can't put all of stand-up comedy on my Mount Rushmore, but yeah. But I relate a lot to where, like, you know, stand-up comedy, especially sort of the more like the edgy comedy that has become more mainstream now.
Yeah.
The kind where they share more about themselves. More.
It's a lot more introspective. Yeah. And they talk about like weird tics and like awkward.
It's not like angry 80s comics where they're just like, I hate this. Blah. Isn't that stupid?
And it's not like broad observational.
Hickory
comedy.
Dickory dock.
This
broad
kind of stuff,
sucked on my cock. Yeah.
Has helped through laughter. I mean, that's part of the reason why like I love stand up comedy so much. Mm. You know, it feels like, one, it feels like they're speaking my language, like stand-up comedians. I feel like I understand like what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But part of it is sort of that same sort of mentality where it's like, oh, they have that similar weird. I'm not the only one with that weird thing. Like,
right.
That's more of a universal thing. I don't feel so awkward for having that tic or whatever. You know.
There's a Louis C.K. bit that fucking cracks my shit up more than any other bit. And it's when he's talking about being fat mm-hmm. and when you have to wash, how you have to like cut in.
Yes.
And to go like, you don't just wash straight down your stomach. No. You have to cut in at a certain point. And then he also talks about how when you're fat, everything is just kind of mushed together down there. It's just, he was describing his crotch as like red and moist and oddly stingy. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. He's dead on. Yeah.
When they can find like the couple of words that just like sums it up in a way you can't like,
exactly. Yeah. That's partly why I cherish stand-up comedy so much.
Yeah.
For those same sort of therapeutic moments.
Yeah.
It was like universally therapeutic moments.
Paul Gilmartin.
We need to move on.
Yeah. Let's go.
Colin. Shit. Who should I choose? You had Neil deGrasse Tyson, Paul Gilmartin. I will go with, I'll go with this one.
Okay.
This person is really a duo.
Say what?
What?
Can I have a duo?
Can't do no duos.
If they take up both remaining spots.
No.
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 Okay, here's what you can do. You can put the most important person in the duo to you in the last spot on the mountain and then erect a poster next to it with the other person.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I'll dig that.
Is that okay with dear old Uncle Dinkley?
Uncle Wonka says that's fine. Special addendum. You may hang up posters around the mountain.
It's your fucking mountain.
It's your mountain. I just want you to pick important people to you that aren't me or friends or family.
I'm really fucking eccentric.
I'm so nuts. Go on.
All right. So my first person, Dave Grohl, sort of helped me with my sort of even keel, be a nice guy.
And also side, music.
And also covered my music side.
Yeah.
Toni Morrison helped me be more tolerant and understanding of different people. Mm-hmm. My third person represents a couple things. One, it has to do with magic and what that sort of represented to me growing up. Like that was my
Gathering, right? The card game?
No.
No?
Like,
yeah.
Like illusions.
Oh.
This particular magician, it is a magician. Wasn't the first magician that I was ever exposed to, but it was probably the more significant magician that I was ever exposed to.
David Copperfield.
No, because it's a duo.
The mass magician.
It's a duo, and that says a lot.
Oh, it's a duo.
It's a duo.
Chris and Angel.
No.
Yeah.
That would be on my mom's Mount Rushmore.
Oh, really?
She loved Chris Angel for a long spell.
She loved getting mind fucked.
She likes douches.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah. Is she way into Guy Fieri now?
No.
Okay.
No. It was a phase. She's out of it.
Okay, good.
But this duo also helped craft my more adult analytical thinking brain.
Bullshit.
I think Doc is on to my next person. It would be Penn and Teller. But if I had to go with just the one that gets etched in stone, it would be Penn Jillette, and then the poster would be Teller.
Yeah.
Which seems kind of fitting.
Yeah.
It really does.
But maybe I could do it to where, like, if you look at it one way, it's Penn, and if you look at it another way, it's Teller, because they're...
Hologram stuff?
They're like...
Yeah, it'd be like a magic trick.
An optical illusion, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, like, their show Bullshit, they were the first magicians to really break down magic as make believe for me.
Yeah.
And like it we're fooling you. That's always been their message. Like,
yeah,
we are not doing anything
right
spectacular. We are we've just practiced moves that allow us to make it look like we're doing something spectacular.
Yeah.
And then they walk you through the trick, and then at the end they do something fucking spectacular.
Yeah.
That they didn't explain.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's completely fantastic. But they're also outspoken about like don't believe the hype.
Right.
There's a lot of bullshit in the world. They had a whole show.
What was that called?
It's called Bullshit.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That was very significant in sort of making me think differently as a person.
Yeah.
About the things that are around me.
Yeah.
And not sort of buying into a lot of the hype, that gets sort of sensationalized. You know, it's things like, the whole cancer thing that I went into, last week.
Yeah.
Is sort of very much has its roots in how Penn and Teller taught me to think.
Right.
You know, the way when that commercial hit me, that side of the brain that they helped form, is what really drove me to insanity over like to picking apart, like, how much did they fucking spend and how?
Yeah.
How many people are dying because they were ridiculous here, you know?
So send all your hate mail to PennandTeller@gmail.com.
Yeah. So the source is actually Penn and Teller.
I'm sure they have an address that's at PennandTeller.com.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they would completely agree with my sentiments. that it is complete horseshit.
Yeah.
Cause bullshit is copyrighted, I'm
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Horseshit. You know, that's your version.
Complete horseshit. Yeah.
Horse hockey.
But even like, psychic mediums and like,
psychic larges.
No, people that take advantage of, people's want to believe in a certain system, you know, in their perspective, it's deplorable. You shouldn't.
Despicable even.
You know, psychics are not real. There's a system.
But what about that Long Island medium?
Not real. She has a
no.
system. Of conning people into believing.
What about John Edwards, the senator?
How did he know my mother was born in March?
They're
I'm looking for someone with an M name. Oh, my name is Anne Marie. That there's an M there.
Yeah, yeah. The suggested thought that pulls you in, like there's snake potion salesman or whatever the snake oil.
Snake oil. Snake potion.
I couldn't think of it. they're snake oil salesmen.
Yeah.
You know, and, exposing those people for the sort of less ethical side that they tread on.
You know, snake oil can cure autism, right?
Does it?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So does not vaccinating your kids.
Mm. Ah, Jenny McCarthy. She's on my list, by the way. No. Go ahead.
Jim Carrey for leaving her.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Pendulette.
Pendulette.
Very
inventor of the Gillette razor blade, by the way.
Right. I know it's spelled G, not a J.
Oh,
on
sorry.
The razors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, J Penn, like Jew.
Penn and Teller. They also helped make me feel like magic was cool.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
And they sort of add a bit of a comedy element. I'm sort of splitting my comedy amongst Penn and Teller and my next.
Oh, this is fun. Okay.
Cool. Even though neither of them are really stand-up comedians.
Yeah. Cool. Done. Good one. All right.
There you go.
This is my final one and my most important one. I saved it for last.
My last one is one of my more important ones.
Yeah. This is probably, in comedy, I'm way into comedy.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably my favorite comedic person. I say comedic person because it's not a stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Which a stand-up comedian definitely almost made it on.
Right.
Because I love stand-up comedy. But this is my favorite comedic person and somebody who, when I went to therapy at one point because of being nervous in social situations,
mm-hmm.
my therapist told
you mean
me...
being a shy kid?
Shy kid, sucking on a dick. My therapist told me that when I'm in a social situation... and I don't know kind of what to do or how to act. She told me to act like this person.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was...
Jim Carrey.
She asked me for an example of someone I admire for their way of adapting in any situation.
I know exactly.
This person can walk through the raindrops. You know what I mean? Bill Ghost-Bustin'-Ass Murray.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Should have figured.
Yeah.
My favorite actor... like just even my favorite actor too, not right. even just like comedic actor, my favorite Bill Murray. And he's just like, I think everybody wants to be him.
Right.
Yeah. You hear all the stories about the crazy shit he does just for, to entertain himself, I'm assuming,
mm-hmm.
like bothering strangers on the street and being like, no one will ever believe you.
Yeah. No, right.
Yeah.
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 He does like, this the same way that Dave Grohl to me feels like if you met him per chance.
Yeah.
Like Bill Murray seems the same way. Like if you just met happened to be upon Bill Murray,
yeah,
it would be super epic, yeah, and nobody would believe you,
yeah,
that he was that cool. You know, yeah, like he would just like show up to a bar and like sing karaoke with random people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he did that. He would crash college parties.
Right.
He showed up at a bar and just got behind the bar and started bartending.
Right. Mm.
And then no matter what anybody would order, he would give them all the same thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Bill Murray is to me like the perfect human being.
Right.
Yeah. That you want to be. And so, yeah, I told a therapist, like, she asked me for who I thought of somebody who gets along well in social situations. And I said, Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. And she said, when you're at a party, act like how you think Bill Murray would act.
It's in the hole.
It's in the hole. So I started chasing ghosts.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and trying to blow up gophers.
That,
and,
that's your, that's
and
your...
trying to blow up tiger sharks.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Your pickup line. You get a, yeah, an old fashioned. You walk up to a girl. It's in the hole.
It's in the hole.
You know.
Yeah.
Kept reliving the same day over and over and over again.
Yep.
Other movies he was in. He kept trying to find the person that you fucked and had a kid with.
Yeah. You pretend that everybody's speaking a language you don't understand.
Yeah. I had to get a giant elephant across the country.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. These are all the same party.
All the hits. Yeah. But yeah, Bill Murray. That's
Broken
my
flowers.
Final right. Face on the mountain.
Face.
Dean.
All right. My last one. I kind of picked this guy for a lot of similar reasons as I pick like Paul Gilmartin and James Brown and all that. It's like helping me with my confidence and kind of channeling darkness and stuff into
darkness imprisoning me. All that I see. That's James Hetfield. Sorry. You're not going to say Neil Strauss, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
but it's in the same kind of vein as like channeling struggles and stuff.
Tucker Max.
into ways that I could relate to people. My last one is going to be Richard Pryor.
Very good.
Because stand-up comedy was always really important to me, and I couldn't figure out which stand-up comic I wanted to go with. So I kind of went with the root of sort of the same logic is with James Brown. Right, I went to the root of what a lot of comedians that I really like tend to go to when they say like top 100 comedians list. And
you've listened to James. You've listened to Richard Pryor too.
Yeah,
yourself,
yeah.
Right?
He is one of my favorite comedians. He's not my favorite comedian,
so,
but
I'm
he.
Sorry,
it,
what?
I was gonna say James Pryor.
They all look the same, right,
yeah,
Doc?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not why.
He's definitely like a big influence on all my favorite comedians since I could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm just going to go with him because he definitely could. He was one of the first comedians to really take a like pain that he went through, and instead of just making like Rodney Dangerfield, not that there's anything wrong with him, but doing like quick like one liners.
Hey, my wife, she fucks my wife. Other guys.
It's like, oh, they say I'm an ass, man.
Where Rodney Dangerfield is influential is he made it later in his life.
Yeah,
Which
he did an old Louis Black.
Yeah, so like he was an older guy already when he became sort of prominent stand-up figure, and he also did a lot to bring other
younger comedians
up.
Yeah,
you know. Whereas Richard Pryor was just fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. what I like about him is that
everybody tried to be Richard Pryor.
Yeah. What I like about him is that, which is a common thread through a lot of comedians I like, is that he could take personal like struggles and experience, like setting himself on fire, smoking crack.
I was gonna ask which Richard Pryor you were gonna put on the mountain, the one on fire or not?
Probably off fire, but like,
add pyrotechnics so that
the
like,
one from the toy.
There are a few hiccups in his career.
I prefer his motion picture work.
His Gene Wilder stuff. But he could always take
Hold
something.
On. Is there any better on-screen duo than Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Abbott and Costello.
Really? Are better
Lou
than...
Costello almost made it on my mountain.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Lou Costello.
Yeah.
I would say that Pryor, Wilder are right up there with them.
Yeah.
I mean, their movies are fun, but I don't know.
Their timing, all right, whatever.
They're all great. They're great movies.
Yeah. I could fucking watch Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder all day. All going right. back and forth off each other. But go ahead, continue.
Yeah, I was just going to finish up saying, he, like a lot of the other people at Pomelos, he could take personal struggles and make them into something that other people could relate and benefit from and laugh at, and which is kind of what I try to do. Instead of being angsty, I try to present things in a way that people will be able to connect with and laugh at. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's the basis of... we already sort of touched on it too.
Yeah.
Like the basis behind like why stand-up comedy is more significant than just like sitting in a club and laughing.
Yeah.
You know, there is a soul to it, if you will.
Yeah, a personal element to it. And,
I almost put Carlin, by the way.
Yeah, that was one
he
I
almost
was,
made my list, my list too.
Yeah.
I had too many people, you know.
It's hard to pick four. Yeah. Only four.
He would have replaced my Penn Jillette.
And when I decided the comedy angle would just be one person, I had to go with Bill Murray.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, Carlin, amazing.
Carlin changed the way I thought about dissecting thought, just to, maybe even more so
dissecting
than
life.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, a lot of language too.
Language, like definitely.
The way you think about the simplest things and whatnot. Penn Jillette also encompassed other sections in the magic that was so important to me growing up and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why he went over. But yeah, George Carlin right there.
Yeah.
Along with Richard Pryor too.
Mm.
Yeah. Significant. My dad had a Richard Pryor tape and I would sneak out to the garage and listen to it because it had a bunch of foul language and stuff that I wasn't supposed to listen to.
You know what
say, hey, la, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what my grandpa had is a Red Fox record.
Oh,
that
shit.
Was amazing.
Yeah.
Was it the Side Splitters or something?
I don't know what it was called, but it was amazing. As a kid, and just be like, holy shit, this is awesome. Mm. I hope he doesn't know I'm listening to this.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. I would.
Mm. Another big one for me as a kid, Tommy Smothers.
Of the Smothers Brothers. Smothers Brothers. Yeah. Wow.
I know the name. I'm not too familiar with them.
Smothers Brothers.
They were a
hilarious
comedic folk duo.
Oh, okay.
Before they were really comedic. They're like Tenacious D then.
Gotcha.
Yes, actually. They would push the limits because they were kind of like Anthony Jeselnik too, where like they looked very clean cut.
Yeah.
And they really tried to push
for the time. Like now it'd be very tame.
Oh, it's incredibly tame
but
now.
For the
time, they would really try to push the limits of what they could sort of innuendo and say on television and on radio.
Okay.
But because they could get away with it because they were very nice looking, clean cut boys with little, you know, short cropped haircuts. And,
right. One of my favorite, just cracked me up as a kid. There's a song where, they're singing together. It was Dickie and Tommy Smothers. And, they're going, boil that cabbage down, boy, turn the oak around. The only song I ever did sing was boil that cabbage down. Take it, Tommy. No. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. That's the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I definitely think that they were a little ahead of their time comedically, too. Stifled only by censorship.
Yeah.
Those were all good runners up to all
good
of our
good runners
mountains
up to
there
just
go
make our list, goddamn.
Those are.
You can only have four.
Those are standalone statues that litter the backyard.
Yeah.
Little butts just sitting around.
You know, we spend the extra money that we didn't have to use carving in some of the people.
We got a quota here.
You know what? Leave off Dave Grohl's ear on the last on
if
the end there.
If we did just a strictly comedic Mount Rushmore, then it would be great.
That's the thing. Like trying to boil down like my entire existence up until this point and all the things that have influenced it into four fucking people.
I know. It's difficult
as
shit.
It was so mind-numbing to
our
try to
uncle
boil
was an
down
asshole.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think we learned something because of his
Toni
his
Morrison
past
is
yeah
not a pop singer. That's what I learned.
Yeah.
Toni Braxton mostly is what you're thinking of.
That's probably what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Or Jim Morrison. Go ahead.
This last person also sort of encompasses comedy. To a certain extent, not a stand-up comedian, but is somebody who has done stand-up type specials.
Dane Cook.
No.
Oh, I know who. Jeff Dunham.
No. This person,
Carlos Mencia.
This person is a filmmaker. They wouldn't consider themselves a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
Now, I'm a fan of this person's.
Clint Eastwood.
No, I'm a fan of this person's. No, he just talks to empty chairs.
Okay. He did do that.
I'm a fan of this person's, work as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
But more significantly,
I've been influenced by this person's sort of outlook on achieving your dreams, like going out and seizing, like just fucking do it. If you want to be an artist, go fucking be an artist. If you want to be,
Joss Whedon.
No. Getting closer. Yeah. Actually,
M. Night Shyamalan.
No, further away. It also has to do with in the last
Mimsy.
6 or 7 years, the significance of this medium that we're on right now, the podcast medium.
Podcasts.
And
more like radio.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't done that in a while. Yeah.
what it can be, what.
Oh, Joe Conte.
No.
No? Okay.
Adam Carolla.
No. We're getting a lot closer. It's Kevin Smith.
Who? Kevin no, I'm Smith. Kidding.
Kevin Smith, filmmaker, podcaster,
old shanty pants.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith.
Are you gonna have a Jay poster next to him?
No. Although Jay Muse's story equally is inspiring.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith. Recently, he has this whole motto about don't surround your people. Don't surround yourself with. Why people surround yourself with why not people? That was sort
why
of
why not.
Sort of what brought
my wife.
Sorry,
that's sort of what birthed this podcast was that idea of why not.
Yeah.
When I asked you guys to do it with me, mm-hmm. when I first approached Dean, hey Dean, you're a funny guy. What do you think about doing? We should do a podcast together. And he was like. Yeah, that'd be cool. Why not? You know?
I remember dropping a few more F-bombs in that.
You might have.
Yeah. Why the fuck not, fuckface?
Yeah, that sounds more like
totally sounds like Dean.
That's totally Dean.
And then I immediately sent you a text message, Doc.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah.
Yeah!
Let's do this.
Why not?
That's significant, and now who cares who's listening to us?
Right.
More like radio.com.
By the way, can I tell you something funny? When you texted me about starting a podcast, mm-hmm. I was about to try to start my own.
Really?
Yeah. And then you texted me and were like, hey, let's do a podcast. And I was like, perfect.
Serendipitous.
Serendipitous. Yeah. Cause I would have been awful by myself.
Hey, what about
welcome
that?
Welcome to the doc. Welcome to Shut Up Cunts. It's Docie Wheat's time. I'm Doc Wheatley. How about this Berlin, right?
What?
Berlin.
No, go on.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not just podcasting though. It has to do with my record label. Like, why not?
Yeah.
There's talented people and I have knowledge and my business partners also have
knowledge is power.
Yes. Other knowledge
and knowing is half the battle.
It is that can help facilitate somebody creating their art.
Yeah,
and so why not? Just do it.
Yeah, like Nike.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Smith, has really lived that at least the last 5 years or so.
Well, even his beginning, Clerks. He maxed out credit cards to make a movie.
Cause why not? Exactly.
Yeah.
He's boiled it down to that sort of philosophy now.
Yeah. This explains your Jersey Girl and Cop Out tattoos.
Yes. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I like Kevin Smith too, but I like to make fun of his bad movies too.
I even like his bad movies.
No.
I was entertained by Cop Out. It's not my favorite, but I liked Cop Out.
Right.
I was entertained by it, and now he's doing horror films, and I think that's fantastic.
What's your favorite Kevin Smith movie? Do you have a favorite?
Favorite Kevin Smith movie is Chasing Amy, by far.
Mine is either Dogma.
Dogma's fantastic too.
Or Clerks 2.
Clerks 2 is fantastic as well. Yeah. There are a lot of strong contenders for me. Anyway, Kevin Smith.
All right, so that's our let's do a quick recap of that. So my Mount Rushmore was James Hetfield, Douglas Adams, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Murray.
Right. And mine was James Brown, Kurt Vonnegut, Paul Gilmartin, and Richard Pryor.
Boom. And my Mount Rushmore, Dave Grohl, Toni Morrison, Penn Jillette, and Kevin Smith.
Boom.
I got some beards on there.
And if you're listening to the Shy Kids right now, vote for your favorite out of the three.
Yeah, right.
Who did the best?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not. Actually, what would be great is on our Facebook page.
You can post your own.
Post your own. Yeah. Leave in the comments when we post this episode to our Facebook page.
Yeah.
What your Mount Rushmore would be.
Yeah. Facebook.com/TheShyKids.
Yeah. We'll share our favorite ones, next episode.
Yeah.
Co.
Are you guys ready for another list writing?
I know, really.
We're
going to play Nerdigories now, which is also a list where we go around round robin.
This is a little more fun.
This one's going to be a little more serious,
this one,
I think.
But this a little one's less introspective.
This one's a competition.
Yeah. So we're going to be more competition.
Get rid of all that sharing bullshit and get into the real nitty gritty. All
right. Let's play some Nerdigories.
All right. Who has a topic for Nerdigories?
I have a topic.
Ooh, Corey. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sure we all watch a lot of television.
Do we?
And I'm sure we've all consumed a lot of commercials in our time.
Yeah.
I think it would be interesting to find out what your favorite corporate mascot is.
Oh. Top five commercial mascots?
Like there's some iconic mascots out there.
Yeah.
Tony the Tiger.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Now we all can't put him.
You guys are going to put Tony the Tiger.
I get what you mean.
He's iconic. There's almost a backstory that everybody knows, you know, something like that.
He accidentally shot a kid. He swore.
Now he frosts flakes with his tiger cum.
Which
is what Charlie Sheen has in his blood.
Right.
I got tiger cum, man.
Yeah. Winning. It'd be really interesting to see, like, what corporate advertising really kind of works on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a question.
Yes.
Hypothetical. Butterfinger has a mascot, which is Bart Simpson.
He is a Simpsons character, not a Butterfinger mascot.
Got it. So if they were an established character before, they don't count?
Okay. If they were licensed for a product, doesn't count.
Right.
So, like,
they have to have been invented by the product.
Or by a marketing firm for that product.
Well, yeah,
So no Snoopy from MetLife.
Yeah. No, Doug for Progeria. Is that not one?
No. You could go with the General for 1-800-GENERAL.
Okay. 1-800-GENERAL now.
Like that guy was invented for the General. Or, right. The Stranger for, Eastwood and
Oh, God.
Stranger?
I hated those. All right, I get what you're saying.
Or creepy greaser molester dude
for survival.
So
if it existed before the commercials did in like another medium.
If it's
like you can't have the Flintstones doing Pebbles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that wouldn't work.
Yeah. Got it.
So should we explain our
Yeah, we should rules? Explain it to new listeners cuz we got a lot of more like radio. So we each write a list of 5. We do it during the break. Each write a list of 5 of what we can come up with right now off the top of our head, 5 favorite of that category. Then we share the list with each other. And if any of us match on any of them, they kind of cancel each other out and you get points at the end for how many you have left.
The goal of the game is to be unique.
Yeah, unique.
You have your list be the most unique list.
Yeah.
Out of 5.
Yeah.
So you'll be King Nerd.
Thusly, yes, making you King Nerd.
If there's a tie, we'll explain that at the time.
Yeah, we'll get to ties later.
Yeah.
As for right now, if you want to play along at home, corporate mascots is the Nerdigory topic.
Yep.
The Nerdigory category.
Yep.
Go ahead and write your list and we'll go ahead and take a break.
We'll be right back after these messages. MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Saturday's Noon East. Join Halls and Rorschach as they bring you the news you need to get you through your weekend.
Ali, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Ali, I'm outside right now. It's really blowing hard out here.
Sounds like it. Where are you at? Are you in Antarctica?
Wait a minute, Ali. I see somebody coming toward me. There's a man coming toward me. Hold on a second. What are you doing in my yard? I'm getting too old for this shit. I just want to say that this snowstorm is a bunch of fucking bullshit. I'm going to let you go back in the house, Rorschach, because the sound effect is about to run out.
Hey guys, it's Halls from It's All About Me. Join Rorschach and myself every Saturday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here on More Like Radio.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Radio you have to atone for. MoreLikeRadio.com. Professional radio without the rules.
Shy kids. We are shy kids.
See it right there. It's done. Theme song.
And we're back.
All right. So, all right. Before the break, we told everybody to write their own list of five.
Five.
For our Nerdigory category, corporate mascots.
Corporate mascots.
I believe I won.
Favorite corporate mascots.
I think I won last week.
You did.
I did. So I will go first. My first corporate mascot, were the California Cows.
The California Cows?
They were, part of the Got Milk,
commercial
campaign.
Okay.
But they were talking cows that were from like Wisconsin. They were dairy cows that were from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get to California.
Okay.
And they had like every commercial.
This is old as shit. Yeah.
Every commercial had like another sketch, basically.
Yeah.
Of like the adventures of these cows trying to get to California.
Okay.
So I think I remember this cows now. Yeah.
All right.
They were always very, very
I doubt funny either and, of us had that, right, Dave?
No, I did not. Okay.
It was the closest thing
Wisconsin
to sketch comedy on commercials.
You get a point.
Yeah.
You get a point. Okay. My first one is, the reason he's on my list is because when I was a kid, I always felt bad for this guy. And I was always like, come on, just give it to him. Just give it to him. He wants it.
Is this the Trix Bunny?
The Trix Rabbit. He wants some fucking cereal. Make him a bowl.
It's $2.50 a box. Just give him some fucking cereal.
Give him some fucking cereal. You bag of shit children.
It's not yours anyway. Your parents fucking bought it for you. Yeah. Jesus.
By the way, have you noticed that the Lucky Charms is the exact opposite scenario? He gets to hoard them all, and he doesn't
Lucky
let kids have it.
The Lucky Charms guy is basically a child molester.
He's saying he's like the Pied Piper who's stealing all the children.
He's like a bearded dude who has like a super stash of like cool things for you to eat.
Yeah. Hey, look, heart stars, horseshoes.
Yeah, they're
clovers
so delicious.
And blue moons.
Follow me to the other side of the rainbow. We'll.
Chloroform and tissues and the red balloon.
You'll wake up in my basement.
Yeah. Did anyone have the Trix
Bunny? I did not have the Trix Bunny, but I considered the Trix Bunny for that very reason.
All right.
Then they won't give him yogurt either. God,
I
bastard
know.
Kids. All right.
Dicks.
Go ahead, Dean.
I had one. It was for a game called Mr. Bucket. The reason I like Mr. Bucket was because of the song he sang where he would
beautiful.
Go,
don't wake Daddy.
No, it was Mr. Bucket, put your balls in my mouth, a Mr. Bucket, put your balls in my mouth, a Mr. Bucket, put your balls in my mouth, come on, kids.
Wasn't he a bucket of fun?
Buckets of fun.
So Mr. Bucket from Mr. Bucket.
Yeah, because I would just sing the fuck out of that song.
Mr. Bucket, put your balls in my mouth, a Mr. Bucket, put your dick on my nose, a Mr. Bucket.
Oh, come in my pail.
Come in my pail. I like that Mr. Bucket calls his head a pail.
Oh, Mr. Bucket.
So that's a point for
Did
Dean?
You know at the time that put your balls in my mouth?
I, of course
hilarious?
I did. Okay. Why else would I sing? Yeah.
And he would sing been really young. That was an old commercial.
He would sing it with like this this kind of put your balls in my mouth and I was just this Mr. Ed quality to it.
I wonder how that voiceover went where they were like, "Seriously, guys, I'm singing. Have you read
No,
this
let's
lyrics?
Take that. Let's just take that again. Let's just do that like five more times.
Mr. Bucket,
out of my mouth, it will pop.
Put your balls in my mouth.
Could you sound a little more rapey when you say that?
Go ahead. Next on my list are sort of the same as my California cows.
Oh, no.
Where in it was like sketch comedy in a commercial.
It's not the caveman, is it?
No, I enjoyed the shit out of those, too. those cavemen, before they became super lame, were like the funniest shit on television for a while.
Okay.
But they didn't make my list. I just coughed off mic and then directly back on mic. On mic.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Yeah. the Foster Farms chickens.
Nah, that's a great one.
Those bastards crack me up.
Yeah. They're always trying to fool people into thinking they were Foster Farms chickens.
Dirty as shit.
But they were the dirty shit frozen chickens.
I want to own one of those puppets. I want one of those puppets.
Yeah. This next one is also, it's not one person, it's a few people like yours.
Uh-huh.
The Raid Roaches.
Oh, shit!
There we go.
Raid!
Raid! Oh, yeah, those little bastards.
Yeah.
They were never great. So happy to see something die on television.
They were the best. They were just scumbag, creepy-looking fucks.
You know what, though? There's been a bunch of ripoffs to that are not as, that are just creepy.
Yeah.
Like, those mucus people. Anamorphic mucus.
Total ripoff of the Raid Roaches.
That, like, live in your nose.
Yeah.
God damn it, Gladys.
Yeah. They got, like, hats on and, like, polo shirts and shit.
Yeah, that, I always hated that.
Or the really creepy ones.
Yeah.
Are the fungus that live underneath that toenail.
Oh, remember that fucking commercial? That too,
It was like, they would lift a toenail up off of a toe. Like an animation.
That would give me
a
panic attack.
A toenail being like if it was hinged.
You could even hear like a.
And then there was.
I was afraid of that happening to my toes when I was a kid.
There's like little fungus people living underneath the toenail.
It don't get any better than this.
So fucking gross.
What if they didn't die out?
But the Raid Roaches,
Raid Roaches.
That's awesome.
My next one, I put on my list because when I was a kid, I kind of wanted to fuck her. The Wendy's girl.
No, she's an underage character.
Well, I was underage.
He was underage too.
You know what though?
He wanted to hold her hand and kiss.
Did you notice that for a while there they had the real Wendy's girl?
You mean his actual daughter?
His actual daughter. The one that is that cartoon.
Right, she was
the model for that.
I remember when they're doing kind of the creepy ass pseudo 3D one where it moves around a little bit and its mouth that creeps the fuck out of me.
I'm the Wendy's.
Oh yeah, their logo.
I'll swallow your soul.
It's all Uncanny Valley and shit.
Yeah. But his real daughter was the spokesperson for like two commercials.
Yeah.
And she was overweight and not the image that they wanted to project with their fresh ingredients.
Yeah, Mark Cushion for the pushing.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Wendy.
Buy our
hamburgers are square.
Our cheeseburgers.
Yeah, she kind of was like Tina from Bob's Burgers.
So they switched to like an actress who's super skinny, redhead.
Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah. Now that Wendy's girl, I'm on board with what you're saying.
Corey, go. Point for Dean.
To continue with my theme of every appearance that this mascot makes is sort of a sketch comedy.
Mm-hmm. There's one on there that if you put, I'm going to be so angry at you because it's stupid. So I hope this isn't it. Go ahead.
No pressure.
The red and yellow M&Ms.
Perfect. Beautiful one. Very good one. The red and yellow M&Ms.
Red and yellow.
I'll tell you guys at the end what the thing is that'll piss me off if you guys have it.
Geico Gecko.
Oh, yes! That's exactly it.
I don't like the Geico Gecko.
But that's not Geico. That's a gecko.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The red and yellow M&Ms.
Yeah.
They still run commercials, like old-ass commercials of the M&Ms.
Who does the red M&M voice? Go!
Kevin Hart.
Bill Murray.
Billy West.
Yes, yes. Billy West.
Yes.
Yes, Billy West.
Well, I bet Dean likes the brown M&M. They got it.
I kind of want to fuck the green M&M.
Yeah. Kind of want to fuck her.
She's kind of like. Does that make me? It wouldn't be a furry. I'd be a candy.
Just be sticky, I think.
Sticky.
You'd be a chocolate tea.
I'm a candy. I'm into anthropomorphic candy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good one. The M&Ms.
Although no genitalia on the M&Ms.
Wait, you don't mean Marshall Mathers, do you?
Yeah, well, you can make your own.
The chocolate melts on your dick.
The orifice is kind of just wherever the fuck you want it to be.
It is. Oh, they have mouths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to tell if she had an accident.
Oh, honey, we'll get past this. It's fine.
It's okay. I have wipes.
It's fine. Dinner was good. No, it's, you know.
Doc. She will melt in your mouth, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a mascot that no longer exists. It was big when I was a kid, though. It was one of those things where they're trying to steal the product. I think, if I remember correctly.
Is this a cereal?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not a cereal.
Cookie Crisp.
No. Not a cereal. Pizza place. See if you can get it.
Oh, the Noid.
The Noid, yes, from the Domino's. Noid.
I almost put him.
Yeah. Avoid the Noid. He's going to get you. I forget what he was trying to do. Was he trying to steal pizza or?
I think he was just a dick.
Was he just like, he just, fuck you?
He was just mischievous. Yeah. He was just like,
I'm going to shit on your pizza, asshole.
I think he was one of the leftover whammies or something.
He kind of was.
From Press Your Luck.
No whammies, yeah. No whammies.
We have this leftover one when the claymation whammies never took off.
Yeah.
Just put some bread on them and make them the Domino's
throw. Yeah, we got a bid from Domino's? Yeah. I don't know. They sell pizza or something.
That fucking claymation was horrific.
Yeah. Pizza in a car?
But it made me want sense. Domino's until I had Domino's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. Domino's.
Yeah. Okay. So the Noid.
All right.
I get a point.
Yeah, you do.
Yep. My next one is another mascot I wanted to fuck, Flo from the progressive
God
commercials.
God damn it.
That's why getting Corey bringing that. I also have a thing for Flo.
Yeah.
I also have a thing
Flo,
for
Flo. Yeah. Oh, man.
Wendy's was when I was a kid. Flo is adult. An adult. Yeah.
Flo is strangely super attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's just her sort of peppy attitude.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I can hang with Flo.
Can I say something though, by the way?
What?
I hate her commercials.
Yeah, me too.
Like, really? I like her, but her commercials fucking stink.
Yeah.
They're never funny.
They've gotten worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're awful, but it's like, oh, that girl's cute.
It's weird, because there's something comforting about her when she comes on as a commercial. Like, yeah. You're like, oh, it's the Flo commercial.
Like, I like to think is that she's like an actual person that was just forced in this awful commercial that I don't like. I'm like, oh, honey, you got to make money somehow.
Yeah.
Point for Dean.
Yeah.
Corey.
Flo. Okay, next on my list is the Burger King.
Mother.
Do you have
fucker.
The fucking Burger King?
I have the Burger King.
God damn
I
it.
I loved how...
I was already putting a check mark and everything.
I love that creepy bastard.
My favorite fucking commercial ever.
And by the way, Burger King stinks.
Yeah, Burger King is terrible.
But the Burger King...
is awesome.
Is amazing.
I love, there's a commercial where
they made a commercial where the mascot creeped you out. Yes. And it was on purpose.
There's a guy that got up in the morning, like he gets up out of bed and he opens his curtains.
Yeah.
And the Burger King is outside his fucking window staring in.
Yeah. It's the best.
It's the creepiest fucking commercial ever.
Did you know they made a video game?
Yeah, that it was like some like pre-order tie-in game kind of thing.
Yeah. It came out on PlayStation 2, I believe.
Uh-huh.
It was called Sneak King. Like sneaking. And the gist of the game was you were the Burger King and you had to sneak up on people and then hand them food quickly. Like, doot, 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 doot. If they saw you coming, you fucked up. But if you sneak up on them, then you can present them with Burger King.
That's the only way you can get people to eat Burger King, really. Yeah.
Well, you stole the Burger King from me.
Whatever.
So that cancels you and me there. Yeah. By the way, when I was a kid, I had it in my head that the Burger King and the Dairy Queen were married.
Oh, you thought that they were fast food royalty?
I thought they were fast food royalty, yes.
And all the McDonald's characters were Parliament.
And they fucked on the round table.
Perfect!
Yeah, there we go.
Burger King's Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah.
Sir Ronald McDonald.
Yep. All right, well then I guess I'm on my last one because you just canceled Burger King with me. this is when this campaign started, I thought, this is fucking weird. But then it just kept going and now I love it. And anytime it's on, I'm like, I like seeing this. Priceline negotiator.
Are you talking, just William Shatner or William Shatner now plus Kelly Cuoco?
Big Kelly Bang Theory. Kelly Cuoco from Big Bang Theory.
Kelly.
William Shatner.
Just William Shatner. Yeah. I will agree. Yeah. William Shatner, Shatner. Priceline negotiator.
Do you remember how they started? It was just him doing his William Shatner talk singing. Mm-hmm. Like, come to Priceline.
Oh, yeah. He would do a lounge singing.
Yeah, he was doing
shit.
Like a lounge singing thing. And then they turned it into he's the negotiator.
Well, they, yeah, then he would stand behind people while they were booking their hotel and feed them lines.
Hey, you should try this place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell them you want two nights.
Yeah.
For the same price. I want two nights for the same price.
There you go.
There you go, cum sucker.
Yeah. So and Price.
And then he turned into some sort of, super spy.
Yeah. He was like secret agent bullshit. Price line negotiator.
Yeah. All right.
Damn it.
Plus it's William Shatner.
I just thought of one that I really want to put on my,
well,
I can't.
Touch it.
Sorry. I do that every fucking week.
You do. Oh, well. Yeah.
All right. So my next one is another one I wanted to fuck. The Grimace. No, I always like the design of the Grimace. Like,
I've been told that I look like Jake Gyllenhaal and the Grimace had a baby.
Not too far off.
I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
We have. Yeah. It explains why you're so purple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dick.
Burp. A one-eyed, one-horned,
like
flying purple people eater. Yeah.
The Grimace is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big fuzzy triangle guy.
Yeah. Hey, Ron. He was always just kind of like, he didn't have a point.
Yeah.
He was just like, I'm here too.
Nothing makes you want to eat cheeseburgers more than shitty Muppets. Yeah.
Good point for you, Dean.
All right.
Corey.
So, honorable mention then, goes to the Dos Equis guy.
The most interesting man in the world.
Yeah, the most interesting man in the world. Not for the television commercials.
So this is what you would have put.
What I just was like, fuck, I should have put that.
Yeah.
Okay. Better than what's next, because next is kind of debatable.
Yeah.
So I should have gone with the fucking most interesting man in the world, because that would have been 10 times better. But I chose.
The least interesting man.
No, I chose an iconic character. And I'm stretching the lines here of what we feel is acceptable, but he's Mickey Mouse.
What?
Because he is their mascot. And they didn't license him for a product. He is their product.
Here's the thing, Corey.
Mickey Mouse for Disney?
Here's the thing, Corey.
Oh, come on,
we
Doc.
Specifically said commercial mascots.
We said corporate
Mickey
mascot.
Mouse. No, I think he said that.
What?
He said corporate.
You said corporate. I said commercial. You said sabotage. I say sabotage. Or whatever.
No. You say sabotage.
You say sabotage.
I say sabotage.
Mickey Mouse, as far as I know, premiered in a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Steamboat Willie.
Called Steamboat Will Willard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not a commercial.
Because Oswald the Rabbit was their mascot to begin with. And
then he got slighted and then later got revenge in a game called Epic Mickey.
I'm just saying that when you see their
logo,
he is the icon. If you look at that blanket behind you.
But that was all done retroactively. He wasn't made as their.
He wasn't supposed to be the mascot.
Here's the thing. Flo is bullshit. Not the original progressive mascot.
But she was made for the commercial.
And the Grimace is not an original mascot. Ronald McDonald is the original mascot.
Right, but he's one of the mascots.
So Mickey is one of the mascots.
But Mickey wasn't made as a mascot. He was made as a bullshit character.
I wish we were live right now so we could ask the chat room.
Right.
Be like, dude, is Corey right or wrong? Because Jesus Christ, that is so stretching.
Like I said, it's debatable.
Yeah.
But I think it still fits, which is why I put him on my list. But it's up to you guys. You just put it to a vote. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't want to give him this one.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It doesn't feel right.
I'm sorry, Corey. It's not a commercial. It's Disney. That's like saying the Pixar lamp.
That's their fucking mascot.
But there's no commercial. Is there a Pixar commercial? Pixar, come to Pixar.
But it's
we feed you donuts.
1-800-PIXAR.
It's what's in their promo,
right,
for their title card.
Yeah,
which is like their pre-movie commercial. Whatever.
No,
you guys are dicks.
I'm sorry.
All right,
whatever.
You weren't gonna win it.
It was coming. Yeah, you weren't gonna. We already canceled on something, and Dean hasn't yet.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm gonna cancel on this one. Cause...
Well, hold on. I do have one more.
Oh, okay.
My next one is Bugs Bunny for Six Flags.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
That evil-looking grandfather who breakdances.
No, go ahead.
My last one. I don't think anybody's gonna have because there was a block of cartoons on Cartoon Network called Toonami, and this was the character that was made to advertise that it was Tom. And he was like the sort of, it was originally Moltar from Space Ghost who was,
yeah, I remember that part.
But they replaced him with this like Mega Man looking character that I liked a lot called Tom. And he had like his own spaceship and he would be like master control of all the TV shows and stuff and fuck you. So yeah, Tom Toonami.
What a terrible one.
Not a commercial.
The only reason I'm calling it terrible is because I don't remember it.
No.
That's in-betweens for a show that's already on.
They were the commercials for
They're like, show bumpers. That's like saying the fucking stick from, was it Nickelodeon Afternoons?
Stick Stickly?
Yeah.
I would count that.
Really? You would count Stick Stickly, but they're you wouldn't count fucking Mickey Mouse?
No.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. You fucking kidding me?
They're
those
commercials
are not
for
commercials.
The show.
No, it's a we're throwing it to commercials.
No, if there was a Stick Stickly show and then they also had them in commercials, I'd be with you. But Stick Stickly only existed in the commercials.
They're not commercials though.
They're commercials for Nickelodeon.
No, they're not.
Yes.
No, they're not. They're in-betweeners. It's like, hey, we'll be right back after these commercials.
After these messages.
We'll be right back.
So that means that
I'm just saying
Dean
those are
cancels.
Not commercials.
If that's the case, then Dean cancels.
All right.
Which means...
That would make me have 4.
It's a tie between me and Dean.
I only have 3. Well, are we not counting that? You seem to want to count that.
I guess we're not counting it.
You sure?
Yeah. Because they aren't...
They're not technically
bumper.
Commercials.
Kind of has to be unanimous.
If you're
going to
call me on his not... You know.
I got to go with Corey on this.
All right.
We called him out on Mickey Mouse. You can't have Toonami Tom.
All right.
So
that gives me 4.
He's a part of the programming, not a part of the commercials.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you.
So I got 4.
I got 4.
I have 3 fucking assholes.
All right.
That means that me and Dean are tied, which brings us to our tiebreaker called...
Come Dancers.
Come Dancers. Come Dancers, a mystic adventure.
Come Dancers.
She's up all night to Come Dancers.
Yeah, okay. Come Dancers is our tiebreaker.
Should we explain to the morelikeradio.com listeners what Come Dancers is?
We were trying to come
up with... Our tiebreaker.
We were trying to come up with a name for this segment, and then Doc just randomly yelled out Come Dancers, and then that stuck.
It stuck.
It stuck, just like come.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun.
Trying to dance and come. Yeah. It stuck. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's awful.
But it's the name of this segment, and since it's been named, we can't change the name.
Listeners, you should hear when we have guests on and try to explain it to them. In fact, we have some episodes in the past you can find on theshykids.com where we did have guests on and had to explain what Come Dancers was.
We had to explain what Come Dancers was to pretty girls. And,
yeah. It was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And it's all thanks to me.
Yay. Thanks, Doc.
Yay.
So, Come Dancers is the tiebreaker. Corey's going to throw out a topic, and me and Dean are just going to shout things from that topic back and forth till one of us either runs out or stutters too much and doesn't get it out.
Just like come.
Yes.
Yes.
I think in light of recent news events...
Wait, before you say that, who should go first?
I think I won last time, so I should probably go first.
Well, I won. I won last time.
Oh,
yeah.
Rochambeau, real quick. Rochambeau.
I covered your ride.
Doc, cool. Doc will go first.
I will go first.
Inspired by recent news events, famous bigots or racists.
Oh, Duke. Ah,
Dean wins.
No,
name one, Dean.
Rush Limbaugh.
Damn it.
16 wins.
I was trying to think of David Duke.
Yeah.
And I came up with Henry.
That would have been a good one.
Holy shit, man. Sterling.
I know. Fred I could have said him like right away.
He got too stuck up on one of them. That's usually how you lose.
I was trying to say David Duke, and I said Henry.
Hitler.
Hitler, for fuck's sake.
Holy shit, man.
That is the worst caving of cum dancers ever.
Nobody has ever choked that hard.
Yeah, I won in zero rounds.
Dancers.
Wow. That was just for me. You are king cum dancer.
All right. You are king. I'm cum queen.
You are cum dancing queen.
Sticky socks, they stand up on their own.
Oh, that brings us to the end of our show, which means plugs.
Oh my God. Plugs.
All right. I'll go first.
Will you? Go ahead.
Hey, Dean, go first.
Yeah. I will. I'm a graphic designer.
Are
you? I am. You can go to deanbottino.com. Botino is Bottino. You can see all my 3D work, my
Dean
pixel.
Bottino.
Can see my pixel B-O-T-T-I-N-O. Art.
No, that didn't work.
If you like to see if you like to read funny shit on Twitter, you can follow me at Fruitsy Collins. Fruitsy Collins is spelled like Bootsy Collins with FROOTSY.
Yeah.
And then let's see. I'm completely thrown off. Okay, Twitter, I got that out. You can go to fruitsycollins.deviantart.com to see more of my art. It's updated more quickly than my website is. If you want to buy anything that I sell, you can go to society6.com/fruitsycollins, and that will have some of my graphic designs. You can purchase prints there.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
Good job. Doc. Okay. You can follow me on Twitter at DocuWeets.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow me on Facebook. Facebook.com/DocuWeets.
I do for both.
Yes. And you can also check out my gaming videos on DocWheatley.com.
Let's play Doc Wheatley.
I play video games. I'm playing Red Dead Redemption right now. I'm going to be throwing in some more like sort of one-off episodes where I just play a game for one episode.
Mm-hmm. So that's YouTube.com?
No, it's DocWheatley.com.
Really?
Yes.
You got DocWheatley.com?
I got DocWheatley.com. You go there, it redirects you right to YouTube.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Eventually, I'll get like a real website.
Right.
But right now, it just takes you to YouTube, and it's easier to remember.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Corey.
My plugs. Send all of your hate about cancer from last episode.
to pendulet@gmail.com.
To add Corey D. Cook. Follow me on Twitter at Corey D. Cook. Follow my band on Twitter at BDR Rocks. Follow my record label on Twitter at Arcadian Records. You can also go to ArcadianRecords.com for all your Arcadian Records needs.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Dayton, we're trying to come to a few different towns this summer with Katie Dayton.
Nice. She's one of the Arcadian
Records.
She's
one of our artists.
Yeah.
So go out and, you know, see her if she comes near your town. You can also go to katiedayton.com for all of that information.
Yeah.
Go buy her album Now or Never. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, all of our regular Shy Kids plugs, go to shykids.com. If you're listening on morelikeradio.com. Yeah.
Morelikeradio.com, home of other great shows like It's All About Me or Conti and Kenny or Hippo Juice or The Red Show. And et cetera.
The high
High Society Radio.
High Society.
That's what you're trying to say, Corey.
The cunt punters hour.
The cunt punters. Another great show.
The Orange Room.
No. Yes. I almost. Yes, that is a real show. I almost yelled at you for making one up.
Yeah. No, that one's real.
Yeah.
Morelikeradio.com. You know, listen. Listen to us.
Yeah.
Listen to everybody else. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at Shy Kids Podcast.
At Shy Kids Podcast.
Yes, it is. Follow us on Twitter. You can also like our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/
The Shy Kids.
Yes. Yes. If you are so inclined to contact the show, you can do so via email at
comments@theshykids.com.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
Send in your emails. Go to our Facebook page. You can email whatever your Mount Rushmores. We'd love to hear what.
Yeah, we'd love to see your Mount Rushmores.
Love to hear what
your
you guys
personal Mount Rushmores.
Would select as your Mount Rushmores, including those that have three of those as the Shy Kids. That would be great. You know, I don't want to lead your list at all. I don't want to lead your mountain at all.
The more like Radio.
It's Corey, Doc, Dean, and Harriet Tubman.
Yes. Yeah. The most significant people in your life.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that's everything, right?
Yeah. That is everything.
Yep.
All right. More like radio.com.
More like radio.com.
Did we say it enough? We don't have to say it quite
actually
as much.
Actually, the quota says we missed like 20 opportunities.
All right, here we go. More like radio.com. Okay. Just edit these in. Just
We're
pepper
good.
Them in.
We're good.
More like radio.com.
More like radio.com.
More like radio.com.
Yeah.
All right.
And remember,
this never happened.
More like radio.com.
More like radio.com. It's our duty to entertain you. I said duty.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.